This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, August 23rd. I'm Gavin Dahl. Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters is in more hot water. Peters opened a campsite business on property she owns on Grand Mesa, but didn't get the proper county permits or register with the state as a business enterprise. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the property has received multiple complaints from neighbors who say campers are booking sites there and causing property damage or trespassing. Last week, a code enforcement officer from Mesa County requested she cease booking the campsite. Known as River's Edge RV and Tent Camping. Neighbors who filed complaints asked to remain anonymous because they say Peters has repeatedly been verbally abusive and threatening in the past. As this latest controversy unfolded, Peters flaunted a Secretary of State investigation to go to South Dakota for an election conspiracy symposium, which she allegedly used taxpayer money to attend. When the Colorado Department of Transportation deceptively reported mudslides closed Independence Pass on August 4th, agency officials feared they'd jeopardize trusted partner status with navigation services. Aspen Times reports agency officials were desperately trying to prevent motorists from inundating Highway 82 during the closure of I-70 through Glenwood Canyon. Traffic levels were hitting an estimated 7,000 to 9,000 vehicles per day during the week of August 1st, compared to a normal load of 1,000 per day. The fallout from CDOT's false reporting of the closure could mean future delays in getting info to motorists about problems on highways due to mudslides, floods, avalanches, or accidents. When Glenwood Canyon slid on July 29th, it wasn't just the highway that was impacted. The all-important Colorado River was filled with debris and silt, and a new channel was formed through the Blue Gulch area. The Colorado Sun reports biologists are still gathering info about the slide's impact and waiting for full access to the riverbed. One concern is mud smothering food and breeding spots for Colorado River species for miles downstream. Rehabilitation of the clogged river is shared among three Army Corps of Engineer branches, the U.S. Forest Service, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and the Colorado Water Conservation Board, among others. Though impacts on the river are significant, the Colorado River District, which handles policy and planning for the river, warned the slides were coming. They teamed up with the U.S. Geological Survey to place rain sensors in the wildfire burn scars inundated by downpours and mudslides. An anti-speculation water task force formed by the Colorado Department of Natural Resources, has failed to come to a consensus on any recommendations. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the task force worked on 8 conceptual changes in law that the group says could reduce investment water speculation on a large scale. The directive came in response to concerns about purchases of land and associated water rights, including in the Colorado River Basin in Mesa County, where a New York investment company, Water Asset Management, has acquired thousands of acres of agricultural land. The task force included representation from the legal, nonprofit, municipal, and agricultural communities, and from a variety of water basins, along with several state-level officials. The task force delivered its 66-page report to the State Water Resources Review Committee a week ago Friday. Next steps are unclear. And the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and its partners have allocated over $1 million of grant funding in Colorado to benefit wildlife habitat and scientific research. 10 projects will benefit 18 western counties. In a press release, the foundation details projects including aspen restoration, invasive weed treatment, installation of new wildlife water resources, and habitat enhancement work. They'll also assist wildlife managers to better manage elk herds. Colorado mountain towns are pursuing more limits on short-term rentals as their residents struggle to find places to live. Rocky Mountain Community Radio Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Steamboat Springs is on the verge of banning short-term rentals from some of its neighborhoods. Resident Scott Wappas says the increase in nightly rentals during the pandemic is causing worker shortages and blocking other young professionals like him from moving in.
I'm fearful for the future of this community if we don't do something and act now and act fast and act effectively.
The town of Winter Park wants to pay some residents up to $20,000 to convert their short-term rentals into long-term leases for local workers. And residents in other towns from Telluride to Frisco are pursuing ballot initiatives to restrict nightly rentals. Some business leaders fear the efforts will hurt tourism. I'm Scott Franz.
The Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests finally got their forest management plan, written by the U.S. Forest Service, or at least a draft version, but many in the area are not happy with it and want it to change. Kate Redmond has more.
The Forest Service released their long-awaited draft revised plan for managing the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests, or GMUG, last week. The three national forests within GMUG encompass some 3 million acres in 9 Western Slope counties. Normally, forest plans are updated every 10 years or so. This plan was written in 1983. Opposition to the alternative chosen by the Forest Service was mounted quickly. A coalition of conservation groups objected to several points in the plan, as did 4 boards of county commissioners. I spoke with Ben Katz of the Western Slope Conservation Center in the North Fork Valley, who said logging was given expanded areas in which to harvest timber.
The preferred alternative in the draft identifies almost 950,000 acres as suitable for timber production, which compares to about 470,000 acres in the current plan. Every alternative of this plan poses a significant increase in suitable timber, a designation that interferes with consideration of responsible management of the forest for other uses.
Other uses include recreation, which contributes $392 million in annual spending to the economy in the region. The Conservation Center also has been advocating, along with high country conservation advocates, defenders of wildlife, and others, for more wilderness in the GMUG Forest Management Plan.
We like to see more wilderness in the plan. In Alternative D, it did have 261,000 acres of recommended wilderness, whereas the preferred alternative only had 34,000. So that's something that we've been advocating for quite a long time, and we believe that there are areas in the North Fork and across the GMUG that exhibit high qualities of wilderness character, and that resource deserves to be protected.
4 boards of county commissioners from the counties of Ouray, San Miguel, Hinsdale, and Gunnison signed a letter to the Forest Service outlining 4 points of objection. The plan provides no baseline for the current carbon sequestration capacity of the GMUG so that carbon emissions can be monitored going forward. The plan has no socioeconomic analysis and management for increased recreation demands on the forest. The plan ignores the CORE Act and the Gunnison Public Lands Initiative, both representing 10 years of coalition work to protect the forest, and as with the conservation group's critique, timber enjoys a dominant role in the plan. The release of the draft opens a 90-day public comment period. Previous comment periods leading up to the release of the draft plan already have resulted in more than 10,000 public comments being submitted to the agency. The Forest Service will provide more information on its proposal in 2 webinars on Tuesday and Thursday. There will also be 5 virtual open houses to be held in September. Public comments on the plan are due by November 12th. They may be filed online or emailed to gmugforestplan@usda.gov. KVNF will provide the online link on our website at kvnf.org. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.